All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Allison Park Leadership Podcast. Thanks for joining us. As always, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Dave.
My name is Jeff. And of course, I'm the lead pastor at Allison Park Church. And Dave is my son and also campus pastor at the Northside Campus. And we're glad that you've joined us today. Allison Park Leadership Podcast, we do the principles behind the plans. And we have one of our best friends, someone we've talked about a lot on the podcast, actually, yes, Johannes Ommert,
wow,
sir.
Wow,
the president of and founder of SOS Adventure and doing amazing things all over the world, but especially on the continent of Africa. So welcome, Johannes. I'm really glad you've joined us.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Dave, why don't you take us a little bit here?
Yeah. Well, to start, I don't think everybody necessarily has met you yet. So do you want to maybe introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah. I was born in Austria. So there's a little bit of German accent coming through. I worked hard on it. Actually, Jeff was laughing at me when I was sending him a text today because I was using American slang.
Yeah, you did good.
I'm married to a Swedish girl. Since, many, many years. We married in 94. Four kids, two biological, two foster kids, two street boys that we took in. And then I've been active, as Jeff said, mostly in Africa, but also planting churches in Europe. So, it's been 30 years of adventures with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've been talking how we became friends a little over 20 years ago. You have now been coming back and forth to Allison Park Church. You said this is your 48th visit
time.
So this is a person who is a good friend. Like
I'm sitting in a staff for jersey.
Yeah, come on. You don't bring back an evangelist a second time unless he's done a good job the first time, but if I don't know what it says if you bring him back 48 times. Yeah, come on.
Thank you so
but
much.
What we have often, Dave and I, talked about on the podcasts previous to this is how revolutionary the experiences that both of us have had.
Yes.
And many of the people that attend Allison Park Church as a part of the missions teams that are with you, Johannes, in Africa. We've been in Nicaragua, we've been in Thailand, where we're in these outdoor festival meetings preaching the gospel and seeing healings and miracles and deliverances and salvations. And it truly has transformed Allison Park Church. I mean, our relationship with you and so your team and what God is doing around the world has really made an enormous difference in our culture.
It's very humbling to hear that.
Yeah, and that's why it's such an honor to have you because, we refer to, when we were in Ethiopia or when we were in Madagascar or whatever, we'll tell those stories as a part of a lot of the episodes. So we thought we would bring you in and especially talk about something that is really kind of right up your alley.
Yeah, so, I'll just say before we even get into that. So for me personally, like I really got a lot of my call to ministry from my first festival. I mean, I knew I was called to be a pastor, but when I was 16, going into 17, I guess, we were preparing for the trip, and we were going to go to Ethiopia, and then they got bombed or something. So we were like, I guess we're not going there, and we ended up going to Nicaragua in Central America, where my grandparents were missionaries at the time. And so I didn't really know what to expect, but like, I went as a Christian who was probably like I loved the Lord, but I was just sort of not really sure where my life was going, probably towards ministry, but not with real any speed or passion. And on the festival grounds in Nicaragua, where we were just seeing thousands, coming to Jesus.
Yeah, that was an amazing festival.
Yeah, that was one where I came away saying, I can't imagine me doing anything else with my life than, full-time ministry and serving God with my heart. So it's an honor to have you on our podcast.
It really is. It really is. And just to say a couple things before we start to ask you questions. So Allison Park Church will be sending three missions teams this year to be on three of your festivals.
Wow, three missions.
So yeah, so we're wanting, if you are listening to this and you're like, well, I got to see this for myself, you should consider signing up if you're an Allison Park Churcher. And then if you are interested in more information, you would go to SOSAdventure.org.
.org or .com.
Or .com, either one. And you can find out more information about teams and about the ministry. So we'll just give you that to start. So make sure you pull the microphone up so we get you get your voice there. So Dave, go ahead and talk about what are we going to cover today.
All right. So I think that when I think of Johannes, you're obviously a man of God. You know the Bible. There's lots we could talk about. But when I think of like your specialty, at least in terms of like what I'm like, I need to specifically.
Are we going to talk about steak?
Yeah, or, other than
or hunting,
or hunting. Other than those two. Yeah, other than those two. When I think about Johannes, I think about that supernatural Book of Acts ministry that follows you, you know, that you sort of passionately pursue Jesus, and often in the spreading of the gospel, there are accompanying, you know, signs and wonders with that. Which honestly, I'll just tell you what, like I saw a few of those at our church growing up, but that was part of what wowed me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, like left and right and a cripple guy and a blind guy and I'm praying for them and all this stuff. And so that was, but so what I want to specifically talk about today is I want to talk about supernatural healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the standpoint that I want to talk about this from is I know like a lot of our listeners probably have, you know, they believe that God, probably most of our listeners, Christian listeners, believe that God can heal, does heal, you know, Jesus has healed. A lot of people might believe that Jesus sort of only heals sort of when he wants to, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with us. But then there are even more that are in our stream that they believe that God does anoint people to pray for healing. But I think there's a lot of confusion about, can we actually believe for somebody to be healed and expect that it's going to happen? Or is it like this sort of
a random chance of you hit it on a good day, right? Where all of a sudden faith connects and nobody knows why. And maybe God doesn't really want to heal everybody all the time.
Yeah,
maybe
he's building their character or that he doesn't want to use you because maybe you're not anointed enough yet. And so I think there are so many.
It's a confusing topic because, you know, a lot of people have been prayed for who haven't received healing.
And absolutely.
So then you have to try to build a theology around that experience. But maybe we can just start. So when you approach this topic, what is your perspective?
Well, first of all, I have always believed that you can't build theology on experience.
Right.
We only have the Word of God.
Okay.
So, but I want to humbly say that there is a lot of things that we don't understand.
Right.
So we stand upon the Word of God and we do everything accordingly, and then sometimes we don't see the results, or we don't see the results immediately, or they don't come the way we expect them to come. I've always thought that actually dying and going to heaven, according to the Bible, is the greatest gain.
Right.
So sometimes when the Lord doesn't heal, he probably wants to take someone home, you know. And so we say he didn't heal, but in God's perspective, maybe he healed. So that's the conclusion I've come to that has comforted me. But I stand very firmly on the Word of God, and I see that healing is not just a little subject. I counted once upon a time on percentage. How much did he heal?
Yeah.
How much did Jesus heal while he was here on earth? And I saw that was more than 30% of his active ministry.
Wow.
And if that was Jesus's ministry and we are supposed to be his followers, then maybe the church should be healing people at least 30% of our time.
It's all throughout the Book of Acts, even after the resurrection.
Yes. Yeah. And all through the Old Testament, when we read the messianic prophecies, we can see this twofold redemption. And as Pentecostals, you know it as well as I know, Jeff, we stand upon this belief in the twofold redemption.
Yeah, we'll describe that a little bit for...
Yeah, so we receive salvation on the cross, salvation for our spirits, for our soul, for eternity. But we also receive healing there. If we look at a very famous healing scripture, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, it was our sins that he bore upon the cross so that we would die to sin and live for righteousness. And through his wounds, we have been healed. Mm. It's already happened on the cross.
Right.
That's twofold redemption, salvation and healing on the cross. Mm. And throughout the messianic prophecies, in almost You know, you can find Jesus in every chapter of the 39 books of the Old Testament. Yeah. But all throughout this messianic prophecies, when I've done my studies, it is salvation and healing, and it goes hand in hand. Salvation, as I see it, also can mean healing. And to be healed is to be saved. Mm-hmm. So it's interlinked.
Yeah, it's that word in the New Testament, sozo, yeah, which means completeness, right? Exactly. Wholeness in every way. So when you were approaching so I guess we could use this analogy. We would all agree, everybody, God wants to be saved.
Yeah.
Right? We would
God
all agree
with
that.
Wants people to be saved.
Yeah. So in fact, it says it in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Exactly. So he wants everyone saved, but not everybody is saved.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And even people that we're praying for right now, yeah, that haven't yet come to Christ, but we don't give up praying for salvation when it doesn't happen right away. No. We say, well, we just have to go to battle. We have to tear down strongholds. We have to continue to love and serve. Yeah. Is healing the same?
Yeah, and I want to bring in this perspective too that me and Maria, my wife, have talked a lot about, and that is that we don't know who gets saved and who doesn't get
saved.
That's
true, yeah.
So it's the same mystique around that, if I should use that word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy for that I don't have to be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes people ask me, do you think he went to heaven? I say, oh, I don't want to answer that question. I'm not God. I know he was presented with a salvation message. That is my task. But really what happened in his heart, what happened, did he confess Christ at the end? I don't know. So, I try to lean towards that. There is a deep thing that you don't see early on in your, should I say, beginning of the walk with Jesus, but that you realize more and more, and that is that there is a necessary evil at times for God's purposes to go through. When we read the book of Acts chapter 2, for example, it says that with God's deliberate knowledge, with his purpose and his deliberate knowledge, Jesus was handed over to wicked men to be nailed to the cross.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what are we going to say? Was the crucifixion evil? Of course it was. The demons, in a way, ran rampant and it looked like they were having the victory. But it was in that suffering, in that evil moment, that Jesus saved the world. And there is a depth to healing, and I think it's so beautiful because we can't approach healing with any pride. It took me many years to realize that, well, do I believe God teaches us something through suffering? I know that's probably one of those big questions. No, I believe God is all throughout good, but he is a father, and as a father we all know.
You just became one.
Just became one.
So we all know that there are times when we need to discipline our children.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It hurts the father to do it. So there is a balance to this. Do I believe that some are being sick because God wants to teach them something? No, I don't believe that. I'm not of that theology.
Because you wouldn't use that for your kid.
No, I wouldn't use. Right. I wouldn't try to get them sick to teach them something.
Right. You'd use some other means, right?
But we have to go through things. And I can remember those times when I was severely sick.
Yeah.
And having excruciating pains. I remember when I crushed my knee in a motorcycle accident and I had so much pain for 3 months straight. During that period of time, I got this humbling experience of what people go through.
Yeah.
And when we are in our festivals, you know, we see a lot of healings, but I can sometimes not even look over to the right side of me because that's where we have a special section for the most handy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have such a respect for them.
Yeah.
But people are carrying in people on stretchers. People are coming with their loved ones in wheelchairs. And they are standing in faith for healing. And half of them go home healed. And half of them are being rolled out on the wheelchair again. And I don't understand why. I want to say that with all humility. But through the pain I had when I went through this thing with my knee and other times I was severely sick taught me to have more respect for people that are fighting, standing upon the word. I'm a word of faith man. I mean, I know where I stand. I preach faith. It's impossible to attract God, or I mean, the love language of God is faith.
Yeah.
And if we want something from him, we must come to him and speak his language. But I have a deep respect for those that are seeking healing and have not yet got it. And when I preach and teach healing nowadays, it is like the Lord is constantly dealing with my motives. Mm. When I was a young preacher, I wanted to see healing for healing's sake.
Yeah.
I wanted to have some fireworks. I wanted some key miracles for my victory report. That was sometimes the motives, just got to be honest. But nowadays, we are far beyond that. Jesus heals because he has compassion. Mm-hmm. He's driven by compassion. And God loves to heal because he is a healer. That's his nature. And when you approach healing like that, I have seen the healings increase. Mm. We see more healings today when we have a deeper reverence for healing. Healing is such a delicate thing. I was meditating upon it this morning. Healing is a delicate thing because you got to get in touch with God's heart. God loves to heal. He loves to heal the brokenhearted. You know, I was asked by the students yesterday here in your Bible college, you know, there was someone asking, do I have to get everything in order to serve God? I have these issues. I said, well, I don't got everything in order now. Mm-hmm. I'm 50. but he has healed me as I've been serving.
Mm.
And I think sick people can, with boldness, pray for other sick people. Mm. Handicapped people could place their hands upon other people and they experience healing and they are still sick. So no one is perfect when we do this. And I don't think, and I'd like to say this time, there is no perfect theology on healing either. Mm-hmm. Theology is a limping thing.
Mm.
Can I dare to say
go
that?
Ahead.
I mean, when you look at, for example, you know, in Pentecostalism, we've been very much against predestination.
Mm.
But then we all know that there are some things that are predestined.
Yeah, right.
If we just read Revelations.
Right.
We know there are things that are predestined. And we are all for the free will, and free will is so important to preach salvation and understand the Great Commission and the fulfillment. But we know the truth is right in between. Right on that edge in between predestination and free will. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with grace and faith.
Yeah.
You can't go too extreme into faith because then you end up in legalism.
Mm-hmm.
If you go too extreme into grace, you end up with liberalism.
Yeah.
You got to be right there, mm-hmm. right there on that border between faith and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think healing is just like that. It's a delicate thing. When I'm stressed, I don't preach healing well. When I'm rested, when I have meditated on God's word, when I've also taken time to sympathize with all those hurting and sick that are coming in, I can be a good channel for the healing grace of God.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I have seen and heard from you for years. So the very first message that I ever heard you preach was over 20 years ago in Hampton, Virginia, a message called Love Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you described the idea that, you know, faith, while it's important in connecting with God, is not the motivation mm-hmm. for miracles. It's actually love. Mm-hmm. Love is the motivation because we care so much about people. And then I was in Gitega, Burundi this past year, this summer, at one of your festivals. And I noticed how that idea of compassion for those who are suffering the most has grown, even in the way the festival is arranged, because those that were coming in blind or missing a limb or whatever were treated as VIPs. As soon as one of your team members saw them, they were led to the very front so that they could sit right before the stage, and everybody else was roped off and out. You know, they couldn't step in there, but they were treated with such dignity and respect.
I loved how you said that. They are the VIP.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And, you know, they were sitting just drinking in every word you were preaching about the risen Jesus. And there were, you could see some of them were just longing for that moment of breakthrough. And while it is true that not everyone in a festival walks away healed, maybe you've had some festivals where that's happened. I don't know. Even to say half of them walk away having experienced is something that probably most people have never seen. Going into a church service to see a whole front row filled with people who have life debilitating issues, and to see one of them experience a breakthrough miracle.
And
I think it's that unique combination of love and faith, right?
It is. And also, when you do the type of ministry that we do, frontier ministry, reaching lost people from Muslim backgrounds, Hindu backgrounds, you can't afford to have a conversation like this from stage.
Yeah, right. No.
Yeah. You've got to be super clear.
Yeah.
And you've got to bombard them with faith.
Well, and that's
because you have that moment.
Yeah, right.
So you can't afford to sow any doubt.
Yeah.
So you become a little extreme in one way because you don't balance it.
Yeah.
You preach faith.
Yeah.
So, and that has helped. I think here is what I learned from my spiritual father, Rainer Bonnke. He always said, isn't it funny that if nine gets healed and one doesn't, we talk about the one that
didn't. Yeah.
So that has always been my ambition to zoom in on the positive.
Right.
Because that creates faith again for other people to be healed, and then leave that one to the Lord. So we have a tendency always to zoom in on that one out of the 10.
The outlier, the question.
Let's zoom in on the nine, because I think for a second, like, you have so many, you probably could tell stories for hours.
Yeah, I could.
But people need to hear stories. I think they're, okay, I'm going to make an assumption. Maybe this isn't correct, but a lot of people that I know are like me, where you've seen lots of people get healed from headaches. You know what I mean? Like, lots. And maybe you've seen, you know, someone who's like, they had cancer and then it vanished and it must have been a miracle, but it was like their one story. Like, I did see this thing, you know, part of me is a little skeptical. Like, did they actually have cancer? Did the doctor, you know, see the scan wrong? And so you have a lot of Christians.
There's a huge skepticism in our culture.
Huge.
And that is,
well, let me be a little cure to that skepticism. I have come to understand now after 30 years that there is probably a special grace upon our ministry for healing.
Sure.
So I say that very humbly. It is the grace of God that does these things.
Yeah.
But, I remember my son, he went through a little time of struggling with his faith, as is natural. You grow up in a strong Christian family, and then you want to come to your own conclusion. Where do I stand? So when he was 16, from 16 to 19, he was, you know, figuring out where he was standing. And then he came to me with tears rolling down his face and said, Daddy, I've just come to the conclusion. You dragged me along on all these festivals when I grew up. Probably been to 25, 30 of them. By the way, we have done way over 120 now.
Wow.
And he said, but all that I've seen, I played with the crutches behind the scenes when I was a child. Alicia rolled me around in empty wheelchairs when I was five. We played with the stretchers and the canes of the blind.
Yeah.
I've seen so many miracles, Dad. How can I deny the faith? It is impossible. So, let me zoom in on one or two here.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm coming straight out of a very active season in Africa. We started in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in Uvira, Bukavu, and Goma. Then we went to Gitega, where you were with us.
Right.
And then we got into Kenya, to Mombasa, and we did some smaller ones in between. But in Bukavu, there was this woman. This is unquestionable. She was known by the leading Assembly of God church in town. Her pastor is Pastor Innocent. I wish we could have him right here. He was just with me last week, and this story was confirmed again. They had this woman that they had been praying for years, blind both eyes. And they were encouraging her that when Johannes comes to town, he has that same anointing that Reinhard Bonnke had. he's anointed and gifted and graced with healing. So they were all fasting and praying, and they were encouraging this particular lady that let's believe that you will have your healing. And on the third night, she receives her sight.
Wow.
That whole church was crying, jumping up and down. This is all that they talk about. She became a key miracle to the whole congregation and to the whole town there. And there were so many of them. But that's just one of these stories that, okay, we got the pastors and all the people around her. They can confirm this. She was healed after being blind on both eyes for so many years. And I could go on and go on. There are so many stories. I remember when they came with the x-rays of a tumor in a stomach. And then we prayed for this woman, and then they came back with the x-rays where there was no tumor, and I saw both x-rays. I wish I had them here right now to show you, but here's one x-ray with a big tumor. Here's another x-ray. There is no tumor. There's been no operation in between, no chemotherapy, nothing of that, but prayer.
Well.
In Jesus.
Just out of curiosity, what was the first time this happened in your life? Do you remember?
Yeah,
the first healing miracle and how you were feeling when you approached it?
Yeah, I was 20 years old. I was doing a Bible study, a teen challenge. I had just come through teen challenge, and we were in Poland. And my team leader said, you should do a Bible study on prayer, and I also want you to include prayer for the sick. And I started sweating. I was so nervous. Why did he mention prayer for the sick? I've never seen a healing. I had seen some prayers answered, and I was super new with this. So I went to a Bible dictionary, Bible concordance, looked up prayer, and picked out a few scriptures. That's how, and then. Prayer for the sick, picked out some scriptures, and I basically read the scriptures and shared a story or two, and then I said in the end, and then Jesus also laid his hands on the sick, and the disciples did so, and James is telling us to do so, and I thought, oh yeah, I've done it. And then the whole room woke up when I said those few lines about praying for the sick. And I was thinking, this is a nightmare. this is exactly what I didn't want, because I've got no experience of it whatsoever. And then there was this girl in front of me. She had is this called a wrist or an ankle? Yep. Wrist.
Yeah.
Ankle is down there.
Ankle's down there, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, English is my third. So she had a wrist that was stiff. She could not bend her hand like this. And she told us all, and I thought, couldn't you have given me a headache? I mean, my first challenge, a headache would have been easy. So her wrist was completely stiff. So I asked, very professional, do we have oil in the house? Because we have been reading James chapter 5. So they got me some oil, and I greased that hand for a long time. And I placed my hands upon him and prayed in the name of Jesus. And then came the moment everyone was looking, and I said, can you do something with that arm and hand that you couldn't do before? And I remember I was thinking, I sound just like Benny Hinn. I just seen a video of Benny Hinn. And the girl sits like this. And starts to bend her hand in all directions and starts crying and screaming and jumps up and down. And I think I bawled more than the girl. And then I found myself and I said, there's a strong grace and power of healing in this room today. Who wants to be prayed for? And I had a long line of people, and that's how I started.
Yeah.
So there was this thing, I was in the Bible school here yesterday, and I taught on casting out demons and deliverance. And I realized that there is a grace that God places on a person. I remember in the street meetings, long before I had cast it out, that there would always be someone going nuts. I never knew it was demon manifestations, but there was someone screaming, someone falling to the ground, stuff like that happening, but I never dealt with it. And then later on, I've just come to realize these were demon-possessed people that reacted because of the grace that was upon my life. And healing was flowing. And it has been like that. I realized that I could sit here and share for days and days and days.
Yeah.
In these 120 plus festivals that we have done, I don't know how many hints we've seen, but in the, all the conferences, yes.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
By the way, what you're listening to right now, Allison Park Leadership Podcast, but actually this is what Johannes and I do when we get together, is we talk just like this, because he has a lot of great stories, and I love to talk about how God's moving in the world that way. So especially after a festival, we'll go have a cup of coffee and sit down and debrief and talk about all the stuff that God's doing in the world. And so there is an authority that you carry, and I think that that authority that God has put upon your life apostolically is because you are designed to break open new territory, especially with people groups that have never heard the gospel before. Yeah. And so I think in some ways, it's not just that there's an anointing on your life for healing ministry, but it is actually the sign miracles that point to the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Because I remember, you know, being in Harar, Ethiopia, where we were dealing with 98% Islamic population, you're preaching out loud about the risen Jesus, and that needed confirmation of signs and wonders.
Yes.
So the anointing to heal is actually almost secondary to the primary call, which is to declare Jesus to people who don't know him.
Yeah. No, I've always been very firm on that. When they announce me as a healing evangelist, I always say, take the poster down. I'm not a healing evangelist.
Yeah.
I'm a soul winner.
Right, right.
I'm an evangelist. I want to win souls. So I never really preach a message on healing. I preach a message on salvation.
Yeah, you preach Jesus.
Yeah. So, but Jesus said, these signs will follow.
Yeah.
And I think that they will follow the preaching of the gospel and us leading people to.
And isn't that somehow a part of the equation that sometimes we are sitting in our rooms asking for healing, in which is our good father loves to bring healing, and then to be out in the middle of the world declaring to a world that's broken that Jesus is alive? There is an extra dimension of power that comes when you're not just doing it privately, although God heals then too, but there's something specially graced
exactly
when you're preaching the gospel.
And Jeff, when you started out there, it's so key. People want to see signs and wonders. People want to see angel visitations. People want to see Jesus revelation. But then you got to position yourself with that stuff happens.
Yeah.
And it happens on the frontier.
Right, right.
If you read the book of Acts, So God sent an angel to Philip because he was on the frontiers and he wanted him to reach an Ethiopian that had never ever heard the gospel. And I think the qualification to get into the supernatural is to be where the supernatural happens.
Yeah.
And the supernatural doesn't really happen so much where we already have accepted the gospel.
Right. If it's just a believer's meeting, although God does move there, there is something of an anointing there.
There's something about God wanting to convince and overwhelm and surprise and wake up those that have not yet heard of the gospel.
So people often mistake that as this doesn't happen in America, this doesn't happen in Europe, somehow that the Western world is different from the rest of the world. I actually don't think that it has anything to do with that. I think it has to do with being in proximity to a whole bunch of people that don't know Jesus and saying out loud, Jesus is alive and he's moving in the world. Yeah. There may be more places where maybe there are more demonic activity than others, you know, but I think it's the gospel that's the thing, right?
Yeah, and you know, there was a healing preacher. He was known for healings from Nigeria that came into Denmark many years ago. He was not accepted by the churches. So he announced signs and wonders. And he gathered the non-Christians of Denmark. Denmark is one of the most liberal, one of the most anti-Christian nations in Europe. And the lame were walking, the blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing. Now he was called into Sweden, and there were more non-Christians in his services than there were Christians, because the Christians were criticizing, they were having
judging.
So I think that if we go to the pockets in America, in Canada, in Australia, in Western Europe, where the non-Christians needs to be reached, I think we can see.
Well, didn't you used to do this when you were brand new, following Christ? You would go to where the skinheads were, right? And preach the gospel out in Germany and places in Europe, and God moved there just the same, right?
Well, I mean, we had one of our greatest healing breakthroughs right in Europe, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that's so wonderful. And we were in Bulgaria, southeastern Europe, and saw we had a soccer stadium packed with people. They were not coming because of great marketing, because we didn't have those funds at that time. They were coming because of the healings. So I brought a doctor down. I flew a doctor down, a well-known surgeon from Uppsala University Hospital. This is a famous university hospital. I flew him down because I knew he was a Christian, to come and document healings. Mm. So interviewed a number of the sick that came into the stadium. And then he interview them after they had received healing. Yeah. And he had 276 documented healings after 4 days.
Wow, man.
And he says, do I need to continue?
You're wearing me out.
Yeah. So, and there were remarkable healings. I mean, they called us down after this festival to the soccer stadium and said, could you clean up your mess, please? It was the authorities. And I thought, the people have not been eating anything. Or I was thinking they've been throwing papers from hot dogs. What can that be? So we went down on that Monday, and on that soccer stadium, crutches, canes from the block, wheelchairs.
That's the kind of mess you want to clean up.
Huh? In Europe.
Wow.
In Europe. Laying everywhere.
Wow.
So I was walking around that stadium with my coworkers crying, and I said, Jesus, I would love to clean up your mess.
Yes.
As long as I live.
It's beautiful.
And there was one guy who rolled in on a wheelchair. He was a Muslim. He walked out of that wheelchair, and many years later I met him. And he was a successful pastor now, had a big church, and said, I use my testimony all the time. That's my starter with the Muslim people. And he had there were these deaf and mute that were healed. It was amazing. And they came with cloths. And you know, Book of Acts chapter 19 tells about when Paul did his extraordinary miracles, where they took clothes and chaperons and handkerchiefs, and they were in touch with his hands, and then they placed them on the sick and the demon possessed, and they were healed. So we did that, and I have a picture back home where we have a mountain. It's a mountain. Looks like we were handing out clothes to the poor, you know? It's just a mountain. And I climb up on that mountain, and I lay over that mountain together with my coworkers, and we pray. And then they brought all these clothes back home, and people were healed everywhere, in every apartment, everywhere.
It's like Acts chapter 30 right there, huh?
We baptized believe it or not, this is in Europe. We baptized 5,900 new believers.
Wow.
Within 1.5
What year? Years. What year are we talking about, Johannes?
We're talking
90 something.
No, between 2002 and 2004.
Oh, where, when we first met.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me brag on SOS Adventure now and talk about you. Me, so I don't know about you, but even as Johannes is talking, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just want to get up and go on another frontier mission, as you say. So one of the great things about what SOS Adventure does is that in these festivals, Johannes is not the only prayer, actually. So what I love about this is that you pray actually personally for very few.
Yeah.
You actually equip your team with how to pray for the sick.
Yeah.
And then you call the team forward. And now it's so beautiful to see Africans and Europeans and Americans and people from all over the globe all making up one big diverse team, standing at the front, ready to receive the sick and the hurting, laying hands on them, praying over them. And then, you know, I always stand and watch when I'm there, because you can see all of a sudden there's like a little cluster of excitement, and they'll dance around, and then they'll come and they'll say, "Can you believe what just happened?" Yeah. And so the excitement isn't watching a superstar evangelist on the stage doing all the things. If you go on one of these trips, you will be equipped and prepared to lay hands on the sick and to see God move through your faith and your love for people. And that is what makes it, that's what you were describing, Dave, that it was one of those moments, not watching Johannes minister, but it was him equipping you to do it. And you saw some breakthroughs. That's transformational.
It was all part of, you know, when me and Maria came into faith, as we are two first generation Christians. We wanted so much the four Gospels and the Book of Acts, and we couldn't find it.
Mm.
We were looking in church after church, and that's all we wanted, the four Gospels and the Book of Acts. And then we prayed to the Lord, please let us lead a movement. Let us give this to our generation and the next generation.
Yeah.
And then when we grew up in ministry, the Holy Spirit kind of instructed me that, don't pray so much for the sick. Pray that the grace will be upon the team, because if a 19-year-old kid is praying for a blind person, he will be transformed. She will be transformed for life.
Yeah.
They will never forget it. They will come home. They will have an active faith for as long as they live. Yeah. So that's part of our vision. Yeah.
So in a way, you know, when we where we started this, Dave, I'm going to kick it back to you. But in a way, rather than just debating the theological question, why are some people not healed? Maybe the better move is to get out and see it and experience it, and then allow for the Holy Spirit to, because like you said at the beginning, there are, we live in these cracks in between the things we understand and don't understand, and we have to be humble about it all, and no one has a mastery of it, but we know that Jesus heals. We know that he heals, and he gives signs and wonders. Yeah. So,
okay, so let's take it here now. I think if people are listening to this, it's like, okay, so maybe God doesn't, maybe I've not seen this a lot because I've not really been praying or believing for this. But as we look forward into the next 25 years, let's say, and we are envisioning what God has, what God would like to do in the West, in Europe and in America, and, you know, to our listeners, a lot of people might be pastors, or they're on staff at a church, or, you know, maybe they're just, they're attending, but they're like eagerly pursuing God. When we look at the next coming wave of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, I guess, what would you say about how do we begin to unleash what you're seeing in Africa, what people will see if they go on a trip? How do we see, and not just the signs and wonders, but I guess all of it—the salvations and,
The Gospels and the Book of Acts.
Yeah, how do you see that taking shape in the West in this next wave of what the Holy Spirit wants to do?
Well, I had a picture from the Holy Spirit once when I was asking myself this question, and that was the greenhouse. So, if a greenhouse has a few broken windows, it's not a greenhouse anymore. It doesn't have the temperature. You know, here in Pittsburgh, I don't know, can you grow melons here naturally?
I don't know.
Not very good ones.
It's too cold.
Yeah. Right?
So, but in a greenhouse, you could.
Right. Yes.
So I think the church needs to create the greenhouse effect. Mm. And if the pastors and the staff people that are listening to this and the people that are out there start to think that if I constantly approach healing with a debative attitude or criticizing it or zooming in on the one that hasn't received it, I will never create the greenhouse effect. Mm. We need to have positive environments where we talk about what God does.
Yeah.
And where we cultivate a culture of faith.
Yeah.
So that we create greenhouses. I like the greenhouse picture. I also like the embassy picture. Like you are on a territory where the same laws aren't applying as the nation you are in when you are in an embassy. Mm. I came to the U.S. Embassy in Stockholm not so long ago, and I was so fascinated because when I rolled through the doors, I talked to some of the Marines, and they were making jokes with me. Well, if you don't do like we say, we can shoot you right here. And I was laughing with them because they were saying, because this is not Sweden. This is actually America. Mm-hmm. And I read up on it when I came home, and they're right. Mm-hmm. That turf there is America. Uh-huh. Inside of these gates is America. So I was thinking, if the church is an embassy, then there are other laws applying in the church than outside. And if we could have embassies of healing, of the supernatural, of the miraculous, so that when people come into church, they come into a greenhouse. Well, you can't grow melons out there, but it's possible.
Yeah. That's good.
Maybe those laws don't apply out there where you come from, but in here it works because this is Kingdom of God embassy. This is Kingdom of God.
That's a beautiful picture.
So those two pictures I have received, and I want to be part to create embassies for the Kingdom of God in my generation. I want SOS to be such an embassy. I want SOS to be such a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And I know Allison Park Church wants that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I love to come here, because every time I come here, I mean, you are cultivating a culture where it's okay to try, where it's okay to believe. And even if nothing happens, let's believe again.
Yeah,
it needs to be a generous culture where we can try, where we can make mistakes, where we can prophesy and humbly say that maybe this wasn't God was God. And also when it comes to healing, if we constantly just allow experts or those that are trained, no, we need to allow our young kids, our children to pray for the sick, everyone to pray for the sick. And even I would think, and I believe this with all of my heart, a handicapped person or someone that has suffered from sickness for a long time, he would love to be in an environment where there is at least, you know, where people believe that he can be healed.
Yeah.
She can be healed. It must be better to be in a positive atmosphere than in a negative atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, let's create greenhouses, embassies in the United States, in Canada, in Australia, in Western Europe.
Yeah.
We can't let the Africans have all the fun for themselves. We can't let the Asians.
Although there is something very special happening in Africa right now.
Yeah, and I want to say that with so much humility. When I am in Africa, I spend most of my time in Africa now, and I want to say this very humbly to also honor Africa. Mm-hmm. When I just did 2 or 3 festivals and spent 3 months out of the year in Africa, I could never really reach where we are now. Now I'm spending 8-9 months in Africa out of the year, and I have personally experienced how my faith level has gone up for rubbing shoulders with people that think it's so natural.
The African pastors, the leaders there, there are so much that we Western pastors can learn from.
Oh my goodness.
There's like an impartation almost that happens when you're around.
And you're around
some of the apostolic leaders there.
Yes. Yeah. And you're around people that loves prayer, that revers the word of God, that are fasting regularly, that are preaching faith. And you know, I think it's a shame. I come from Western Europe. I grew up in an non-Christian environment. why are we so skeptical? It breaks my heart. I grew up being skeptical. We were trained to be skeptical.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
In school.
Yes.
You should question everything. And you should double check your fact resources and where they came from and what well they were coming from. And okay, well, you can't trust that encyclopedia and you can't trust that. It was just so critical. I had to be almost positively brainwashed and deprogrammed when I came to Africa because there is a beauty.
There is.
I'm crying. There's this beauty in the simplicity of faith.
Yeah.
And when you meet with someone that doesn't question, but just believes. I've been with tribes where they are like children. And Jesus said that. Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will never enter in. And I learned from them. Sometimes I take Maria's hand and I say to her in Swedish, let's just soak this in right now because this is so pure. Mm-hmm. This is so unpolluted. This is so raw. We need this.
Yeah.
There was the study. I know I got so much to say on this matter, but there was the study about them in Europe taking senior citizens from senior citizens' homes to the playground to see little kids play. They just put the wheelchairs and them next to the playground, and they improved their health from just watching kids play on a daily basis. The blood pressure went down. They stayed up longer. They felt more energy just from being around little kids and toddlers play.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when we come around positive faith people, when we come around people that are unpolluted in their spirit, so to say, in their faith, we get affected by it.
Yeah.
So praise God for the Africans and for the revival that is going on in Africa. Mm-hmm. And I think that all that we have invested from America and in Europe into Africa, there will be a harvest.
Going the other way, right? That now it's the Africans who are leading the way. And so you kind of have become an African.
African, yeah. Maria said that to me the other day, that your thinking is African, your culture is Africa. And I agree. I went to my relatives in Austria and they said, who are you? And I said, I'm an African today. Yeah, you have changed. So I love Africa with a passion. I'd like to die there, be buried there, or go straight to Jesus from there. I want to give my reminder of years to the young people of Africa. I love them with a passion. I want to see urban young Africa being passionate for the Book of Acts. And
it's beautiful. Well,
I think we're just about out of time, but we want to, just give a huge round of applause to you, Hans,
for being on
today. Thank you for the stories and the faith boost. And, if you want a taste of this, go on a festival. There's like six a year now or more?
They're probably eight or nine.
Eight or nine a year. There's plenty of opportunities. And I know that's like some money and you got to take vacation time or whatever, but it's life-changing.
It's life-changing, yeah.
It's real. And I'll also say, too, I think it's worth taking your kids on if they're of a certain age.
Yeah.
But, for me, I wasn't even out of high school, and it was so life-changing for me.
It's a great thing for a parent and a son or daughter to do together as an adventure. And like I said, we're taking three teams this year. So if you're close to Allison Park Church or you know us and would like to get in touch with us, or you can just go to sosadventure.com, find all the information you need there. And you'll also get information about Johannes and what God's been doing in his life. Johannes also has tremendous books that are available. Can you get them on that website, Johannes?
Yeah, I think many of them are there, but I don't know. Don't you have them in the shop here?
We have them. If you're here at Allison Park Church, we have...
The first book I wrote was on healing.
On healing, how Jesus healed the sick, and you can too. I'm sure we have copies of that. But then there's a whole slew of other ones that he has written. And definitely check out his ministry. And so, Dave, why don't you wrap us up?
Well, do you have something you want to say?
You got closing thoughts?
I wanted to say that you can write a message on our website and ask for the books.
Yeah.
and we can easily get them to you out of our office here in America.
Yep.
I've written 10 books so far. I'm actually writing my 11th right now.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
On how to be Holy Spirit led.
Let's go. That's awesome. Yeah. Pick up those books that are worth the read. And hey, we just want to say thank you again for joining us. You can actually do us a huge favor if you can, you know, like and subscribe on YouTube, leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify, which will give you a shout out if you do that. Or just share with your friends on social media. Helps to spread the word about this. And I mean, even just about faith. We're talking about increasing faith. Maybe if you were challenged or encouraged by this, somebody else that you know needs this. So it would be doing us a huge favor if you could help share, recommend in any way that you can. So hope you enjoyed this one. We'll see you guys next time.